You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adore Udoji.
Good morning. The American poet Wallace Stevens may have been onto something when he said, perhaps the truth depends on a walk around the lake. A new study by University of Michigan researchers concurs, reporting a walk through nature is not only relaxing, but makes you smarter. Jonah Lehrer joins us now from the studio of our partners WGBH Boston. Jonah is a science writer and author of Proust Was a Neuroscientist. Good morning, Jonah.
Good morning.
Okay, this sounds obvious. Walks, a daily constitutional, is good for your heart and soul. But how in the world is it going to make me smarter?
Well, but the experiment was rather simple. The scientists simply had a large group of undergraduates take two different walks. One group walked through downtown Ann Arbor, Michigan, full of traffic lights and traffic and, you know, shops with alluring windows. And the other group walked in a nature, took a walk in nature, took a walk in the woods. And they came back and took a test of working memory where you're given a list of numbers and you have to recount them backwards. And sure enough, people who walked in the woods did much better in the test. They call this attention restoration therapy. And the idea is that walking in the woods is like a vacation for your prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain that directs attention and is responsible for big chunks of human intelligence.
So would the converse of that be people living in urban centers are getting dumber?
Not necessarily dumber. Just we should be aware that being in a city is mentally exhausting for the brain. I mean, there's so much you have to keep track of when you're walking in a city street. You have to watch out for those cars. You have to pay attention to the honks. You have to wait for the walk signal. You have to make sure you're not getting lost. All that stuff takes, you know, cognitive effort. It's hard work for the brain, and it's important to recognize that living in a city isn't easy and has real cognitive effects.
Well, then I've been in a wheelchair for 35 years and haven't walked for that time, so how stupid am I, Jonah? I mean, come on. I live in a city, and I can't walk. I mean, it's over for me pretty much.
Well, it's obviously not walking. It's about, you know, I mean, to me, the most interesting part of the study is the idea that when we're in a city, we're always having to pay attention to stuff. And it's that act of directed attention that takes real effort. Whereas when we're walking in the woods and you see a beautiful sunset, that doesn't take effort to look at. We just admire it for about 30 seconds and then we move on. Or we see a pretty bird and then we move on.
If you're walking in the woods and you see a beautiful sunset, somebody sawed all the trees down. So, you know,
true.
You know,
good point. So that might not be a nature walk.
At Princeton, though, at the Institute for Advanced Study, Albert Einstein and Kurt Gödel, two of the most brilliant people who ever walked the face of the earth, used to famously every single day take walks in the woods on the Princeton campus.
Well, they clearly knew how their brain worked.
Yeah, no kidding.
And they're not the only ones. I think there's a large literature of people from Thoreau to Einstein who advocate taking walks in the woods as a means of kind of restoring cognitive function and clearing your head regenerating the brain.
Jonah, you talk about how when we are relaxed, our brain is able to make connections that give us those eureka moments. What's actually going on in the brain when we have those epiphanies?
This is a separate stream of research, and this is done by researchers at Northwestern. And they've shown that when the brain is relaxed, when you're in that relaxed state, which you're more likely to be in when you're walking in the woods apparently, that's when your brain is most likely to have one of these epiphanies, one of these aha moments. And that's why also aha moments come in the warm shower, because you're relaxed.
And they don't come when you're waiting for traffic.
Exactly. They're probably not coming when you're waiting for a taxi. Trying to flag down a taxi on Fifth Avenue. But what happens in your brain when you're in this relaxed state is your brain is able to shift into right hemisphere mode. You're more likely to pay attention to these more disparate connected thoughts in the right hemisphere. And that seems to be more likely to generate an epiphany.
But for those who don't necessarily live near nature or the woods or lovely parks, isn't that state of relaxation relative? In other words, being in traffic, as John just said, in the middle of downtown New York City, that would be very stressful. But strolling through Central Park, which is quieter in comparison, that would provide more relaxation for your brain.
Absolutely. I think it depends on which part of Central Park. I mean, you're absolutely right to point out this is all relative. And so if you can find a city walk that is relaxing for you, then by all means take it and, you know, wait for an aha moment. But the point is that generally when we're walking in a city, the brain has to work harder than when we're walking in the woods. So they use two extreme examples in their experiment. And I think the scientists would readily agree that if you find a relaxing walk in the city, it should be just as good as a walk in nature.
But it's interesting that the research really does show that the exercise component of the walk has nothing to do with, or at least from what you're saying, has nothing to do with the sort of cognitive component of the walk's benefit.
Oh, no, this is nothing to do with walking. To show that, they also showed subjects just pictures of nature and pictures of cities. And sure enough, just looking at a picture of nature was relaxing enough to actually induce some cognitive benefits. So this has nothing to do with escalating your heart rate. This is all about the brain.
Jonah, can you just hold on for a second? I need to print out some pictures of nature.
We need to get something up on the walls here in the studio. Yeah. So last time we talked to you, Jonah, you were a single guy.
Yes.
And all that's changed.
I've now got something on my left finger, on my left fourth finger.
How much of your brain is focused on, dealing with marriage and the future?
It's proven to be very relaxing so far.
That's good.
Well, congratulations, Jonah Lehr.
Thank you very much.
Jonah Lehr is our Takeaway Science contributor. He's a science writer and author of Proust Was a Neuroscience, TIST. And now we turn to Femi Oke, who's a newsologist. Is that a word?
Newsologist?
It is now. 21 minutes to the top of the hour.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.